if you ladies could just give us your names and tell us a little bit about yourselves, your husbands, how many kids you guys have. Some of you have grandchildren already. And how long you've been married. And we'll start right here.
Hi, I'm Heather Clausen. My husband is Brad. We've been married just over 29 years. We have four kids. They are 26, 24, 22, and 20. We planned all those. Coming back from the field from Russia, we had to have them in the summer. So that's why they're exactly 2 years apart.
Wow.
And the Lord was gracious to keep my plan.
So if you need family planning ways, talk to Heather.
The oldest is married and lives in Virginia Beach, and we have one grandson who will be two in a couple weeks, and our second one on the way. The other three, somebody asked me, where are your other three kids? And I said, in my living room. two have graduated from master's already, and the youngest is in her third year. But my son just got engaged, and he's moving, and he's actually going to be living where Beth's grandson is, granddaughter is. So he's actually marrying the sister who's married to Beth's son. Daughter. I can't even do it. We're going to be related. So we're both going to be visiting grandkids up there pretty soon.
That's so fun. A little side note, it's like a some wives' kids marriage.
Yes.
So yeah. Beth's daughter married a some wife's child. And then their son is marrying the child of a semwife.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun? So semwives is the way to get your kids married. Yay! Thanks.
Good evening. My name is Josie Rios, and my husband is Tom Rios. And we have the joy and privilege of serving at Grace Church, and we serve in the Spanish ministry. The Lord was so kind to give us five children. And when our fifth was born, our oldest was only six. Crystal is the first of the five, by the way. So I have the joy of being her mama. And by God's kindness and grace, we have 16 grandchildren. And an amazing grace of God is that our children and their spouses walk with the Lord. And it is a joy to be with you here.
You guys should come over for family dinner one time. It is crazy. Children everywhere, so much noise. It is the best. And lots of dishes.
Hi, I'm Rachel Trowbridge. A lot of you probably know my husband, Ben. He works at the seminary. We have two kids, a boy, James, that is almost 10. And actually next week, pray for me. And then Abigail, who's 4. We are in Cornerstone. We've been married 12 years. 12 years in August, so.
Hi, everyone. My name's Anita, married to Brian. Most of you were at my house for the opening of SemWives. Thrilled to have had you join us that night. Glad to be here tonight. We have four children. My eldest is married and lives in Indiana. Then I have two more. So the eldest is a girl. Then I have two boys and a girl. Both the boys are at TMU currently, and the baby girl is in high school. And this year, we'll be married in November for 25 years.
That is incredible. So everyone here, double digits. That's really special. Well, thank you, ladies. We're so excited to have you. And as we were talking about earlier, our theme is the fear of the Lord. So our first question is, how do you cultivate a fear of the Lord in your personal lives? Oh, and there are note pages in all of your at all of your tables if you guys wanted to take notes. Sorry, I forgot to mention.
One thing that I was encouraged when I was a young believer is that to spend time meditating on our great salvation, that it never becomes old, but to think of the great salvation the Lord's given us. So that's been something that has been continual for since the Lord saved me, meditating on the great salvation. Another thing was to meditate on scripture. You know, that was so easy because my hands were free, because having five little ones, your hands were often very busy. So I could do that when I was nursing, washing dishes, warming tortillas, folding laundry. You know, this is real, ladies. You know, my hands were busy, but my mind could be occupied on God's word. And that really helped me temper. The Holy Spirit tempered my wicked little heart, in my response to my Lord, even if I didn't say it, I knew where my mind was and where my heart was. So the Lord was so kind as in the years just to meditate on the word. When my hands are busy, that's where my mind is, because I need it desperately. And then another thing was to structure the time with our children. Since they were little, we structured so that we were available to them and had their day structured, but so that in the evening when they were in bed and all that had been taken care of throughout the day, sometimes, many times, often, there was loads of laundry on a couch still, but they were taken care of, but then I had time in the Word. And so some things were left undone, but the time in the Word, late in the evening, whenever I can do it, it did happen. So it was me taking the responsibility and the initiative. I didn't have to wait for my husband, but me feeding myself the word.
I'll piggyback off that. Recognizing the priority of that. And it's so difficult when the littles are little. I've been there. But if you can make a concerted effort to spend time in the word, you will grow. And I do want to read this, and I have to put my glasses on because I'm at that age. My son, if you receive my words, it's from Proverbs 2, and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And you really have to make that a priority. And even as Josie was saying, you know, it's difficult to do it at 5 a.m. in the morning when you've had a child throwing up. And obviously, as a young mom, you have to be extremely flexible. But you have to make it a priority. And along with that, I would say pray. When you're nursing, I didn't have a cell phone. I mean, I did have a cell phone, but the internet, well, actually in Malawi, very often we didn't have power. So even if we did have internet, it wasn't like the power was on. But I would be interested to know how many of the nursing moms struggle, obviously, because it's right there. And so it's easy just to have my phone and to scroll or do whatever. But I would encourage you strongly to make that a time where you can just pray for that precious being that you're nursing. Pray for your husband. Those are times where you can really, grow that communion with the Lord. So making that a priority, and I know it's hard, and I hope that you will discuss that at your table about how some of you plan to study God's word when it's crazy, whether you do get up early, whether you, like Josie said, read, you know, at night, but make that a priority.
Just to add, obviously, yes, be in the word. And I just think when you get to know your husband, you want to know everything about him, right? You study him, you want to figure out his favorite things and favorite food and everything, because you want to show him that you love him. And so you should do the same with the Lord. If you, to learn to love and respect him, you need to know him. Otherwise, you're not going to. If you don't know somebody, you're not going to want to obey them or respect them. So you need to know him in order to follow him and to fear the Lord. And for me now, because we've talked to you about our kids when they were little, grabbing those little moments, you know, if you try and plan something that you just know there's no, if the goal is plan something you will do. That's what I want to say. Plan something you will do. So if it's 10 minutes in the morning, grab that 10 minutes. If it's 10 minutes in the afternoon, then 10 minutes in the evening, do that. Because if you set an hour goal, and you have children under 5, it's not happening. So do something at first that you can actually accomplish so that you can get it done. And I think just now that I'm older and my kids are, I don't need to take care of them anymore, is just, for me, it's not my favorite thing to do, but taking the opportunity to teach and to lead groups, for me, really helps me to grow. I do it not because it's my favorite thing to do. I have a fear of microphones. But because I grow so much, I learn so much, and so that's why I say yes to teaching opportunities.
And we're so thankful you do. Yeah. Sometimes, instead of fearing the Lord, we can fear man. And as a wife of a pastor or a man in leadership at churches, it can very much feel, it might not be this way, but that everyone is looking at us and what we're doing and how we're responding. How do we fight this tendency to do all things for the glory of God and not the approval of the church members?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to emphasize to be yourself. Like, don't try to be like something you're not. I mean, just be genuine. And also just prayerfully dependent on the Lord. I think that's going to go a long way. So, yeah.
That's what I love about you, Rachel.
I wrote down the same thing, not comparing yourself with others. So, God made me Heather. He didn't make me Crystal or Josie. And so when you try and be somebody else, it's just not going to work. And I tell you that when your husbands first get here and they're just starting and they're just learning how to preach, a lot of times they try and be their favorite preacher. And they're not. And so they'll try because that's what they want to be like. But it's, I say, always hold on, hold on. Because they will figure out who they want to be. And if turns out so much better when they figure out how they want to preach and how they want to be. And so they have to be themselves. And so that's what I wrote down too, is just not comparing. I'll tell a quick story. And actually, so it's one of those moments where I was hosting the first Men of the Word leaders at my house. This was before Men of the Word was big. So there were 20 guys coming over. And I, when I'm doing that, I'm very scheduled. So I had made a detailed by hour schedule of the day. But there was a women's event at church that I wanted to be at. So I made a lot of food the night before. I timed out exactly how I wanted to do everything. And I came to church, and I was pretty confident. I was like, I can do this. Like, I've got it down. And somebody's, a wife of somebody who was coming, came up to me and said, aren't you having men at your house tonight? And I said, yeah. She said, why are you here? So I started to panic. Because I was like, why am I here? Maybe I should be at home. I thought I had this all together, but maybe I should be panicking. Maybe I should be at home. And I started to really worry about it because I thought maybe I didn't do enough. Maybe I'm not ready. Maybe I'm not ready for this. And there were two people, there was two men out of the group that I was really concerned about coming. I was really afraid of what they would think of me. It was a total fear of man. I thought, what are they going to think when they come? Is my food going to be good enough? Is this going to be good enough? And I really was worried about it. And the Lord humbled me fast. And actually, the daughter of one of these men is in this room. But I was making bread, and I was covered in flour. And it was about 3 hours before they were supposed to be there. And I hear my doorbell. And I'm like, who's at the door? And I see somebody standing there. And I'm like, okay, and I open the door. And it's this man that I'm afraid of that's coming to my house. And I am just, I don't even know what I said. I was just in shock. I was covered in flour. And I just looked at him. And he's like, you know what? I was coming up from the valley. And I'm not going to stay. I just wanted to ask if there was somewhere I could go and have coffee. And you know what? And he walked away. And I thought, okay, you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't matter. Like, he came. And that dad and another one were the two at the end of the evening who complimented me the most and have been super sweet to me over the 10 years that Brad has been doing Men of the Word. So one of them is your dad, Maren. So, well, that's really funny. And now
Maren
I knew exactly who was at the door. Now, Maren's dad and I share jam. So if you see us at church, we're always passing homemade jam to each other because I make it and so does he. So we have a special little relationship now. But it was funny because I was just terrified, and I just realized, you know what? These are just men that want to come over here and fellowship, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be like somebody else. It has to be me. So that's just a story.
She's giving me the hairy eyeball.
I'm glad you read it.
I think for me it's really going back to scripture and remembering who God has created me to be and that ultimately it's his work in my life. Philippians 1:6, he that began that good work will bring it to completion. So I can trust that, right? I think there is... And I mean, there won't be one of us who doesn't raise our hand to say that we do compare ourselves to other. We all do it. But that, I mean, If we really want to be humbled, compare yourself to Christ. And just remember that your slavery, your servant heart attitude towards him, every single thing that we do is all for his glory. That is going to take away the fear of man. Continuing to focus on the fact that I want to be a slave to Christ.
I had grown up, my mom would say, a good woman, and then she'd go on and say this high, you know, excellent thing, the way to perform all these things, and a good woman, and a good woman. So I grew up about this good woman, and this is not a believer. And so when I came to Christ, in my mind, this is a good woman has to do all these things. And I was not going to get married. So being married was a big surprise. So I marry a preacher, and then it's like, all these people are expecting a good woman, and I'm not her. That's what I thought, I'm not her. But I'm so grateful for God's word, because God's word tells me to hold captive every thought to the obedience of Christ and to think on that which is true. And that has freed me. I mean, it's taken years, literally years, to love my brethren and not think I'm doing it for them, because they're thinking I'm not that, because they know she's not that good woman. You know, that's what I thought. But I'm just so grateful for God's word that has freed me to love people and to not focus on me at all. But it's being obedient to this, holding every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Such wisdom. Thank you, ladies. And great stories. So our husbands, we are so thankful that we are all married to godly men who love the Lord, love his word. They love us. They love their children. They're working hard to provide for us while also tending the flock that the Lord has given them. And sometimes some of our husbands have to work outside of the church to provide for us financially. So they're very busy. How do we make our homes a refuge for our husbands?
Just one practical thing that we do before Daddy comes home in our house is he usually lets me know, like, he's on his way, call me, whatever, text. And I'll just prepare the kids, like, hey, Daddy's on his way home. Let's clean up the house a little bit. So we tidy up. This is nothing he requires. This is just a preference. So we just try to have a tidy house. And then, you know, when he gets home, they just naturally just are excited to see him. But I asked him about this question. I was like, what is the most important part? Like, when you come home, what is the most important part? And his answer was just joy. Like, if you guys are joyful and happy and, like, we're not, like, unloading on him, like, that's good. So that was one thing that, like, we just try to do. Just do everything with a happy heart and, just tidy up. And another thing, personal preference, not my husband's requirement. Do I just freshen up a little bit? Like, pop some gum, brush your hair, tidy your makeup, you know, whatever. Just, I try not to be in my pajamas every day.
I actually asked Brian this as well, and he said one thing that was really helpful for us, especially when the kids were little, was when I had said to him, if you could just give us from 5 to 7, because he's got a ton of work, and all your husbands do. That's what's going through their minds all the time, the assignments, the books, the things. But when we've got that time, or at least he does in his mind, that 5 to 7 hour, he gives us 100% of his undivided attention, and he's with the kids, and he's playing, and it's dinner. And then he said to me, what was really helpful is when 7 o'clock came, and even if he hadn't helped with the bathing or the bedtime or anything like that, that was then on me. So if we got it done in those 2 hours, because 7 o'clock was bedtime for us, and I mean that was just our decided time. But he said that was so helpful for him, because he could put in those 2 hours and then he could go and carry on at work. That was just something practically that was really, really helpful. So you could discuss that with him and just ask him. That's another thing. I loved it when you said you asked Ben. I asked him too, because you could just do things, but if they don't tell you or what they prefer. So open up and just say, what is really helpful for you, you know?
And all of our husbands are so different too. So one husband might really appreciate it if you put lip gloss on. And another one might be like, ew, I hate it when you wear lip gloss. You know, like you just, so ask your husbands, like, what would make home a refuge for you? And it would probably really bless them, like it blessed your husbands.
Something else that was really helpful that he mentioned was that, especially even now with ministry being so busy, is he has asked us to try and at least do 2 nights a week that are just family. Now, sometimes that doesn't happen because of counseling cases or something comes up, but we try and shoot for a Tuesday night just to be completely us, and then sometimes a Friday, depending, sometimes the kids have got something on. So that's also helpful just to discuss with him. He may want 3 nights with just family, you know, but surely make that a priority.
Sometimes we have an idea of what we want our home to be when we don't realize that we have not instructed our children. Mm. Or, you know, we want to create this thing for my husband, but our children aren't going to read our mind. They don't know. They're little. They need to. So we need to train them and instruct them. When daddy comes home, we're going to stop what we're doing, and we're going to go to the door, get up from whatever we're doing, go to the door, and you're going to look at his eyes, and in your home, I don't know about your home, you know, you tell them. Like in my home, they would hang on daddy, they would, you know, hang on his neck, and kisses and hugs, you know, and then I got the kisses and hugs. And then the words, you know, welcome home, daddy. So, and then if you see a child that after they've been instructed and they're still doing something, instruct them. So-and-so, what do you need to do now? Instead of telling them, ask them, because they have to be more responsible in responding, right? So that you know that they got the assignment. I'm supposed to get up and go see daddy. That's right. Okay, come on, let's go. So sometimes as parents, we forget. We just expect behavior when we don't realize we have not trained or instructed. So even this is so important. And my sisters, I have to tell you, I see Crystal, and she is 2 years old in pigtails. I don't know where time has flown, truly. But it flies by so quickly. So may I encourage you, Lord, what kind of home do I need to build for my husband? I'm his helpmeet. I'm here all day. How do I prepare my children's hearts, their vocabulary? And in the day, thank you, Lord, that daddy went to work and we got to go to Costco. Thank you, Lord. You know, verbalize those things, because it's not the natural position of the heart of a child or ours. But it helps us to say those things, but it also, it helps our children. So instruct your little ones on how to receive daddy. And you know what? My husband, as we've been married 43 years, and he still loves it when Crystal says, daddy, you know, and the boys, our boys are in their 30s.
And they're all married and have children, by the way, so they're not boys.
They're not. So, you know, when our sons see their dad, they hug him and they kiss him. You know, and sometimes I say, I'm sure your dad's waiting for your hug. And there they go. So instruct my sisters. Whoops. Sorry, Mom.
I would get down there.
Thank you, Mama.
These chairs really are tricky. I'll be honest. They kind of give a little bump. There was one time we did a Q&A and my chair was sinking down the entire time that I ended up having to stand up. Oh my word, it was really funny. It was ridiculous. Okay, back to the question. Heather, did you want to answer that one, friend?
I'll just add real quick. You have to know your own husband. So my husband, this is going to sound weird, but my husband did not like the kids running up to him when he walked in the door. He needed time to decompress. And he had really hard days, especially when we lived in Russia. And he needed a good 15 minutes. So I taught my kids that we don't run to daddy when he comes home. So he needed to come in the house, go in the bedroom, change into something comfortable,
just have quiet for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and then he would come out, and then they would go and talk to him. So you just have to know your husband. So for him, that's what he needed. And so you need to, like we said, figure out what they need. My husband does not like a dirty floor, and he would notice that if he came in, would not notice the dishes. So you have to figure out, like, you know, if he comes in, he's like, oh, you know, the floor is all nice and clean, and it's quiet. That's what he loves. So you have to figure out what your husband loves so that that's ready for him when he comes home.
And that kind of goes back with the question earlier of when we fell in love with our husbands, we wanted to get to know them. We wanted to learn all these things about them. And it's not that they've changed once we've had children, but our homes have kind of evolved where we're adding all of these other cute little people or the busy schedules. So getting to ask them, and even their own desires change. Like, maybe they really like clean floors all of a sudden. Who knows? It means I gotta love clean floors. So, okay, how do we practically instill the fear of the Lord in our children when they are small?
I'll start. Do you want me to start? I think Josie should answer this question because obviously she taught her daughter how to fear the Lord, but...
The Lord did.
I just wrote down some points, but I wrote we wanted to instill a respect for authority so that they would learn if they respected us, then they would respect the Lord. I have three girls, one boy. I made my girls dress up for church in the dead of winter in Russia and put them in snow pants, but I put them in a dress every Sunday because I wanted them to know that church was special, and I wanted them to know that it was a special place and we wear special clothes. And so they would act respectful because they would have a dress on. That was what I taught them. That was what I liked. And they never fought it. So they love to do that. Nothing's better than hearing a three-year-old recite scripture. I don't know if you've ever taped your kids doing it, but with their baby little words saying scripture, it's the sweetest thing ever. So we did a lot of memorization when they were little. I homeschooled until they went to high school. So each of them had their own Bible homework. So that was something that ties in the other question. Part of my Bible learning when the kids were little was teaching them those homeschooling Bible lessons because I would teach four. So, you know, you do it with them and work, and it's great because you're going through all these truths with them. So that even homeschooling your kids through the Bible, that helps. Putting God into all of our conversations, reminding them of God's sovereignty, reminding teenage girls that the Lord is sovereign, and you know, reminding them when they get anxious that he is true and what is right and what is true and what is pure and what should their minds be on. And then just when they got a little bit older in high school, love 180 here in the discipling, and I encourage them all, go meet with your leader. I'll pay for you to go out and have coffee with them. Tell them whatever you want. I will never ask them. The only time they'll ever tell me anything is if it's something serious, like a serious sin where you're going to get hurt or something else. Otherwise, you can say whatever you want. And I gave them, and that was amazing for them. And when you have teenagers and they come home and say, oh, my goodness, I learned this in 180. It's so amazing. And you're like, I've been teaching you that since you were four. Like, that's what's in your head. But you say, that's so great.
So praise the Lord for that wise teacher.
Wow. I never thought of that. That's what comes out of your mouth. But encouraging those relationships with older women, if you have daughters or the men, and my son is moving next. Actually, he leaves on Monday. Oh, we won't talk about that. But he has gone back, and he has met with each one of his small group leaders this past week and just met with them and saying goodbye to them and thanking them for their influence in his life. So it's a big deal. So having them listen, kids naturally will listen to other people more. And so you want to put them around people that are going to influence them in the right direction.
How do we cultivate, we've talked about fear of the Lord with young children, and I think it's really special. Three of you at least have adult children. How do you encourage your adult children to fear the Lord? Granted, they're not always in your home. But how do you encourage them to fear the Lord? Rachel, do you want to start on this one?
No.
I'm here to listen on this one.
I So my eldest daughter lives far away in Indiana, and we call almost every single day when she drives home from lunch. And she has had some health issues and some struggles most recently. And it is so encouraging when I do ask some really deep questions just to hear how the Lord is continuing to work in her own life. And I think continuing to remind her of his sovereignty, his goodness, his grace, but then asking specific questions about what she actually is learning. She hosts a little Bible study at 6 a.m. every Friday for junior high girls. And just this week she was telling me about, "Mom, I'm so exhausted and this is going on." She said, "But I really am just trusting the Lord." And a little girl reached out and wrote a text that was just suggesting that she's having some issues and asked my daughter not to mention anything about it, but could they get together? And my daughter said she was so tired, but she said, "I know that this is what the Lord has for me, and this is an opportunity for me to be an encouragement to this girl." And she trusts the Lord. She wants to honor him, and so she went with this little girl, and they met. And so I'm just little things like that to continue to remind her that anything that she does do is only by his grace anyway. And the fact that she's in the situation with whatever's going on physically is what God has for her. And so how does she trust him through that? Josie.
I think that, well, we've been praying for our children since they were in the womb. And we prayed for their spouses. Even before we knew what the gender of our baby was, we prayed for the baby and their spouse. And the Lord has been more than abundant and gracious. And when Crystal was the first to fly the coop, you know, it was like such a joyful, celebratory time. But oh, my baby, and Lord, she's yours to begin with. So it has been a joyful prayer journey for me to continue to trust the Lord. And so I text my children, and I call my children, and I have very intentional conversations with my sons and my daughters, and my son-in-laws and my daughter-in-laws. Mm-hmm. Like, to be very frank with you, I even ask my sons, "How are your eyes?" And with my daughters and my daughter-in-laws, you know, my five daughters, instead of pointing out the wrong things, I encourage them on the good things. "I noticed you're doing this." And so I always look for ways to encourage in the things that I see that they're focusing on, and then to ask them those areas that I notice that there's a little bit of an issue there. But the same thing. So it's being intentional and loving them. And you know the words, "I love you," from Mama never gets old. So say it and express it. I'm still amazed. My youngest son, in his 30s, he asked last time, "Can I sit on your lap on my birthday? Can I sit on your lap, Mom?" And I said, "Of course, come here, baby." You know, I love my children, you know. So tell them how much you enjoy them now, and tell them how much you enjoyed them then.
If you didn't think I was crazy, now you know why. But it is true. I love it. Yeah. And it's funny that happened with Kenny, because I've had both my boys this week. They're like, "Mom, can I just sit on your lap?" And I was like, "What? Yes, of course. I'll stop whatever." They just wanted to chat. It was sweet. Heather, do you want to add anything to that?
No.
You good? Okay. We're going to go to the super, super practical right now. And mostly because that's what Some Wives is about. But my least favorite chore in the house is probably a toss-up between cleaning the toilets or folding laundry. I don't enjoy those things. It's not something where I'm super excited. If I get to wash dishes, I actually love washing dishes. Like, it makes me happy to wash dishes. But I don't feel joy when I'm scrubbing a toilet or folding laundry. to be quite honest. So how would you encourage us to be joyful in those seemingly mundane tasks that we don't enjoy? And it's okay to not enjoy them, but how do we praise the Lord? How do we fear the Lord as we're doing those mundane tasks?
Surprisingly, I saw something by Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's wife, this week. I've never seen her on doing anything before, and it popped up, and it answered this question, and it was, but she just said, people ask her all the time, like, how do you handle it, because your husband's gone so much? And I was like, oh, I want to hear her answer, because my husband's gone a lot. What is she going to say? And she said, you know what? He is the head of the household, but we both understand our biblical roles. So he is the head of the household, but I'm not his servant. I am his helpmate, and I am the guardian of the home. And my job is to keep the home safe. And some of the questions we talked about, it's a refuge for him, and that's my role, and I love it. And I was thinking through that, and it's funny, because sometimes if I'm doing a job I don't want to do, I think, but do I want to do Brad's?
So true.
And all of a sudden, the dishes seem great.
Awesome.
I love the dishes. So it's all perspective. It's all perspective. And, you know, everybody has to do things in their jobs they don't like. So do your husbands. Even if they picked a job that they studied for and they love it, there are still going to be parts of their job they don't want to do either. There's very, very difficult parts of ministry that nobody would choose to do. And so we all have things that we have to do that are just do it. Just don't think about it. Just do it.
It's a Nike commercial. Just do it, girls.
I agree. I was actually going to say something similar in light of, I had her in mind, Erica Kirk, just viewing it as your perspective, you know, instead of I have to do the dishes, I get to do the dishes, you know. I have a husband here, I have my kids here, and that all of this mess is evidence of that. So yeah, it's just the perspective of just, you know, I get to do it instead of I have to do it. I mean, even though we have to do it, but yeah, I get to.
One of my favorite things to do is clean toilets.
Anita, come on over. Come on over.
You can ask Kate. I really enjoy it. If any of you need some tips, I have this really great pumice stone. It's amazing. And if you use really long gloves, it's almost satisfying. I'm serious. Stephanie's given me the hairy eyeball. I do think this, though, and I'm just sharing with you that I really don't mind cleaning toilets. I really don't. But there are some things that I don't particularly enjoy, and I know that everybody will struggle with some kind of task that is somewhat painful. I would strongly encourage that you teach your children how to work heartily as unto the Lord, seriously, and have them work alongside you when you're doing those tasks, and teach them how to do it well, and sing a song with them, and put music on in the background, and help them to see that hard work is what God requires of us. In everything, we do it all for the glory of God. So start training them from a young age, even in those tricky tasks. Make it fun. If I am doing a job, and of course my kids are grown now and they do a lot on their own, I like to put in my AirPods and listen to a sermon or do a podcast when it's something that is somewhat mundane. Because, you know, you can't, or even I've done this in the past, just had the Bible on audio while I'm doing something, washing the car or whatever. But I'll just say that encourage the kiddos to do it from a young age. And I watched this in a seminary wife's home most recently, where the kids came upstairs and took the basket down, and then the next one came up and took the basket down, and they're not big kiddos. But this mom is already training them from a young age to do that. And I think it's commendable. So do it, girls, because then as they get older, you know, you don't want a 16-year-old not knowing how to sort laundry. And I have some of my friends' kiddos had never, when they came to college, had never done laundry before. It's true.
So we've been married 43 years by God's wonderful grace and gift. And so I've been warming tortillas for 43 years, you know? And the same admonishment of Scripture in Colossians 3, 23 to 24 is still the same. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your rewards. You are serving the Lord Christ. And that continues to put my heart in the right place. You know, because whether my husband recognizes it or not, that's not the point. It's really unto the Lord. And so that helps me with all of the housework. But the right words, God's word, I should say, God's true word is what helps me to do it with heartily and is unto the Lord.
Thank you, ladies. For our last question, other than the Bible, are there any books or podcasts that have blessed you and encouraged you as you walk in the fear of the Lord or in your homemaking?
If you've ever been at my Semwives table or EWG and you complain about something, I'll probably tell you to read a missionary biography because that's what I do. So if I am thinking my life is hard or I'm thinking that I deserve more, then I pick up a missionary biography and it gets my perspective back. In my favorite one is Evidence Not Seen by Darlene Deber Rose. Crystal just read it recently and
you start, so good.
Yes, you'll cry.
You'll stay up really late reading it, and it is worth it. It is so good.
Yeah, and it reminds you to have courage. It reminds you to memorize your Bible because you just never know. I love John and Betty Stamm. There's missionary biographies you can read to your kids. I brought an example of one, but it's the Bench series. They're brown, and they say Then and Now. If you don't have a lot of time, those are great. That gives you a really quick story, and you can just read it yourself. You can spend 2 or 3 days reading one of those. They're for like junior high school, and you can learn about a missionary just by reading those books, and they're great. Besides those, I guess my two favorite books that I like are Calm My Anxious Heart by Linda Dillo. Karen showed that to me 29 years ago when I came to Seminary Wives, and I still use it. It's about trust and contentment.
Is it still in print? Is it in print?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yep.
Wow.
As a new cover, but it's in print. Yep. And another one that actually B. Mayhew gave me years ago is C.H. Spurgeon's On Spiritual Leadership by Steve Miller. It's a little green book, and it's meant for men in leadership, but it's great because it talks about the spiritual disciplines, about prayer and faith, commitment to holiness, a heart for service, and I just love it. I've gone through it with different seminary wives at my group, at my house, and just going through and practicing the spiritual disciplines and how you can pray for your husband to have those disciplines. So those are my list. Yeah, the last two.
Yeah.
Calm My Anxious Heart by Linda Dillo. And then the book is just called C.H. Spurgeon on Spiritual Leadership. Yeah.
Something I did is I listened to sermons. Whenever I had time, I listened to sermons. As I'm making breakfast, making lunch, hanging up clothing, I put the radio very loud. Oh, because that back then, it was radio. Back then, you know. And back then, it was hanging up the clothing on the clothesline. You know, very different from today. But it was listening to lots of sermons. So maybe not as many books, but listening to lots of sermons. Amy Carmichael, the missionary, The Wild Bird. Elizabeth Elliot's book, Let Me Be a Woman. Biography by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Adoniram Judson, his biography, The Golden Shore, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand by Paul Tripp, and the story of Jim Elliot through the Gates of Splendor, and then Peace Child by Don Richardson. Those are some titles.
Honestly, I don't get to read much, so when I do get to the chance to read, I'm reading my Bible or I'm listening to a podcast. The one that has been my favorite is called The Risen Motherhood, and I actually just found out it's ending, guys, so do it while you can because it's so good. I guess their ministry ended, but anyway, that was a good one. That was really my favorite one. and we're listening to music. We always have music on, whether it's worship music or Danny Go. We're listening to music all the time. Danny Go's kids' music, by the way.
I appreciate that you said that, Rachel, because I think so often there is the temptation to read the next book, but we're neglecting the Word of God. And that's not to say that those books aren't focused on Scripture, right? But if you're neglecting your own Bible reading time, there's a problem. It's easy to put on a podcast, and that's fine, but have I spent time reading the Word of God? Make that a priority. A book that I'm currently reading, and some of you have told about it, or told you about it rather, is Unmet Expectations by Lisa Hughes. It is a difficult book, and it'll hit your heart, but it has been fantastic. And then the other one is a book by Jeremy Burroughs called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. If you can read that, wow, it really helps you to understand the fear of the Lord and what he has is for, yeah, you just have to be content because he's absolutely sovereign. And then as Josie was saying, yes, sermons, I recently started listening to John MacArthur's 1996 Family series. Go back and listen to it. It is so good, such a reminder. And listen, ladies, there's not one of us up here who has it down. There's not one of us in this room who has it down. Nobody is perfect, and we know that, right? Any good that we do, as I said earlier, is by the grace of God. And let us just be humble and ask him for the help. You know, he is so gracious and wants us to cry out to him for that help. May we encourage each other in that as we spur one another on to righteousness. He's so good. He's so faithful. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And so let's respond with that. And then, of course, I always go back to Shelby Cullen and Kim Cummins, their podcast that I love for ministry wives. So what is it called? Woman of Hope. Woman's Hope. Yeah, that one. I haven't listened in a while, but it's really good.
You guys didn't ask me, but I'll tell you.
What's your favorite, Crystal?
Thank you, Heather, for asking. It's this really short one. Elizabeth Elliot did a ton of podcasts. They're short, 15 minutes. They're not on the radio any longer, but it's an app that you can download. It's called BBN Radio. You download the app, and you click on the demand, and on demand, there's all sorts of men and women of the faith who have gone home to be with the Lord. But you can click on Elizabeth Elliot, and there's a devotional for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And you can just click it, and it's the best 15 minutes that you will spend outside of Scripture. This week, it's all about kindness and kindness in our homes, how we speak to our husbands and how we speak to our children. And can I just talk to you girls? It's a knife in the heart. It is so, so good. And she's doing it with her daughter this week. So it's BBN Radio, Elizabeth Elliot.
Did you say that's an app?
Yeah, it's an app. So you go to your app store, download BBN Radio, which sounds nothing like Elizabeth Elliot. And then you have to like do a couple of more steps. So you go to demand. On demand, you'll see all of the different people. I think it's like James Vernon McGee, The Bible Answer Man, Elizabeth Elliot. And I honestly haven't looked at all of them, so I'm not sure if they're all kosher. But Elizabeth Elliot is really good, and you can listen to all the others with a discerning ear as you fold laundry or do whatever around the home. But ladies, thank you so very much for your time. It has just been wonderful and encouraging.